Tim and Marianne and their kids make the perfect family.
All her life, I think that's all she really wanted was to be a mother and a wife.
She wanted a mother for his children.
Sign me up.
Or so it seems.
Are you Daddy's new friend?
Yay!
Either I am their mother or I'm not.
Because you think he's so wonderful, but he's not.
I do not have a problem with my drinking.
It was creating a concern for him and with the children.
Inside the perfect home, all hell is about to break loose.
I want a family.
They are my children, and I will fight him for custody of these children.
Love may be blind, and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. For 32-year-old Marianne Fullerton, life is a song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
She just had a beautiful voice. And she sang in the choir in front of the church, leading in prayer and song.
Her main goal in life was being a good Christian person.
She had a full life.
But for Marianne, having a full life is more than good music.
Eileen, you scared me.
You're practicing for another wedding?
Yep, another wedding. Another bride.
All her life, I think that's all she really wanted was to be a mother and a wife.
I bet you that your Prince Charming will be coming through those doors at any minute now.
He better. I'm not getting any younger.
I told you.
She had a lot of boyfriends, very nice guys, but it just never seemed to work out. She was very picky, and she wasn't gonna just settle for anybody.
She was looking for a Catholic man that would have her own beliefs.
For this?
Yes, I was looking for some sugar. The sugar.
I'm Marianne.
Hi, I'm Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Are you new here? I just haven't seen you here before, and I pretty much know everybody here. Not that I've dated everybody here, but.
I'm sort of new. I just moved back after my wife passed away.
Do you know this church? If you'd like, I can show you around.
I'd love that.
Sure. A lot of history here. Yeah.
I have three kids.
Wow. Three kids? That's a blessing.
It's amazing. I guess if I manage to keep them alive, I'm a pretty good dad. That's not an overwhelming endorsement of my parenting skills, is it?
Well, if that's the only duty for being a good parent, then sign me up.
What really excited her about the whole experience of meeting Tim was that he had three children.
For Tim, it's also a perfect pairing.
He wanted a mother for his children.
Tim and Marianne start dating, and soon they're an item.
You sure you're ready for this? All right, then. Showtime.
It's only a matter of weeks before Tim brings Marianne home to his parents, where he's living with the kids.
Daddy!
Hey.
Hi.
This is my dad, Bill.
Nice to meet you.
This is Toby, the youngest. Hi. This is Rick. This little troublemaker is Samantha. You gotta be careful with her. She can swallow you up with her big eyes.
These three children look like Hansel and Gretel's. Everyone were cute, little blonde hair, almost like you feel like they would be dancing up the steps singing The Hills Come Alive with the Sound of Music.
Are you Daddy's new friend?
Well, he wanted us all to meet, so I guess that makes me more than just his friend, huh?
Yay!
She was just totally in love with the kids.
Hi.
Let's go inside, come on.
It was more like they were doing things more as a family than it was like they were just dating.
Oh, I can't wait to show Samantha what I got her.
You didn't have to do that. They adore you. You just have to be you. And not be their mother. Just take the kids home, okay?
While the romance may be rosy, the specter of Tim's wife, Elaine, casts a long shadow.
I'm sorry about earlier.
I can't live up to her. Is that it?
No, you don't get it. It's not like that.
So how is it?
I loved her. The kids that loved her. But all she loved was the ball.
Tim told her that she had a lot of emotional problems.
Mom, where are you?
Elaine was abusive to the kids from what Marianne had told me.
Mom, where are you?
It was a waste, you know? She drowned. She loved drinking more than the kids, more than me. That's what really killed her.
Tim, I'm so sorry.
This whole business is best forgotten, for everybody's sake.
She told me never to say anything to Tim about it because it was just so hurtful, you know, that he just couldn't talk about it and don't ever bring it up.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell wonder if it's too early for the grieving man to begin again.
I think both Tim and Marianne seem to be rushing into this a little bit too quickly. Sometimes when people lose a spouse, as Tim has, they do feel some desperation to sort of fill that huge void in their lives.
I don't think he's given himself enough time to grieve, to sort of go through that whole process of losing his wife before he is starting up with Marianne.
I think in the aftermath of losing a wife, they really are looking for a replacement for, doesn't sound very nice, but the services that a mom provides, somebody to do the momming, the cooking, the getting the kids ready for school and all of this stuff that maybe the previous wife did.
I look at Marianne and I see her desperately wanting a family and wanting kids, and it concerns me that that is why she is pursuing things with Tim, that it isn't Tim, it isn't their relationship, it's that she's really just looking for that built-in family.
When the anniversary of Elaine's death comes around, the family pays their respects.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures you let me graze, to safe waters you lead me.
When they did go to the gravesite, it was sort of like, you know, we don't want to be here.
You okay, honey?
Yeah, I'm fine.
How about you boys? You doing okay?
Yeah.
They're doing great. It's time to go, kids.
Hot chocolate?
Yeah.
It made her feel really needed. And I think at that point in her life, she wanted more.
Those kids love you.
They better. I feel the same way.
I think maybe she might have thought this was her fate.
But even fate can make a mess of things.
She actually thought about calling, breaking up with Tim.
I was kind of shocked when she told me.
Marion was devastated.
Widower Tim Buskowski and Marianne Fullerton have been dating just 6 months, and already Marianne's like a second mom to his three children. But Marianne also wants children of her own.
Oh, would you look at that little one? Oh, so precious, right? Oh.
She always wanted not only to raise his children, but to go further, step further, and have her own child and or children.
And not just children, she wants a ring. But after months of waiting, Tim doesn't pop the question.
Everything okay?
What are we doing here? I mean, really.
We're having a wonderful time.
I don't want a wonderful time. I want a family.
I had a vasectomy. After we had our third kid, we thought we were done.
But surely there are ways to reverse this. There are procedures.
I can't. It could kill me.
Tim had a heart condition, and that was one of the reasons why he could not have the reversal on the vasectomy.
But wait,
it doesn't change who we are, what we have, right?
She was pretty much devastated that she found a man that she thought she could spend the rest of her life with, and now she wasn't going to be able to have a child with him. And she actually thought about breaking up with him. But then I think she thought about it, and she would just wait, play it out.
Hey, hon. You mind grabbing me a whiskey?
Sure.
Samantha, Rick, and Toby.
Yes, 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 yes to you. Oh, yes to Samantha, yes to Rick, yes to Toby, yes.
It was really fast, because they were engaged, I think, within a year. She was just so happy. Oh.
It was a beautiful wedding. I was in it. I was the maid of honor, and actually Marianne was my maid of honor.
They had everybody in tears because after they were married, they did like a little ceremony with the kids coming up, and she vowed that she would be a good mom to them.
Everyone was just thrilled for them. You know, here's these kids, they have a mother.
With the wedding behind them, the new Boskowski family creates a home of their own. While Marianne looks into other ways to get what she really wants.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. So, what do you think? I've been busy.
It's great.
Yeah. Is there anything better than a deer on a sweater? So I went to the doctor's today, and I got this. Remember we talked about the artificial...
Not now.
...insemination. Tim?
He was against it. He didn't want to have any more children. He, you know, had the vasectomy, and pretty much he just said that was it.
I think that it's been clear for a while now that Marianne really wants a biological child of her own. She's open to being a stepmom, but that is not the same in her mind as having a child biologically.
I would like to think that their relationship will be okay, but I don't think it will be. Part of what Marianne has always been looking for is to have a child of her own, and I think that either she's going to pester him and try to make it happen, or she's going to be sitting around with a lot of resentment.
In the meantime, Marianne makes the most of the kids she does have.
She wanted to adopt them, and she went through the whole process, and that was very important for her.
Hello? What's that for?
For the adoption papers, when we get them.
There's no need to fuss about that. Just a piece of paper.
I like the formality of it. Everyone knows it's real, then.
It's already real to them. And to me.
I don't know if that's really true. Why did you take the kids out after I had grounded them the other day?
They'd already been punished enough.
Hey, we have to get consistent on this. Either I am their mother or I'm not. But if I am, then you need to respect me and my decisions or else they're not gonna respect me. God, I swear to God, Tim, if you can't get behind me on this, then maybe we should just forget this.
Baby, look, we can sort this out, okay? You don't need to go crazy about this.
What, I disagree with you and now all of a sudden I'm crazy?
That's not what I meant. I want to do this together. Okay?
As planned, the adoption goes through right around Marianne's 35th birthday. But it will take more than a piece of paper to solve their problems. Or rather, Marianne's.
You know what, hon? I think this also calls for a celebratory drink. You want to open up a bottle?
He related she started drinking. Daily and too much.
I think it's a bit early, don't you?
Oh, not this again.
No, kids, why don't you go wash up?
If you say that to me one more time, I swear
think
to God,
that you're having a problem with your drinking.
I do not have a problem with my drinking.
Yes.
You keep saying that, but there is not... I have one glass of wine a day.
I think you're an alcoholic. I've seen it before. You're drinking every day. You can't stop.
Where are you getting this from? Oh, my God.
Every day you come home, you drink a bottle of wine.
It was creating a concern for him and with the children.
They aren't the only ones concerned.
Thank you for coming in.
Some of the choir members suspected that she smelled like alcohol.
Gay and I were blown away.
As newlyweds, Tim and Marianne Boskowski struggle with infertility. Tim is also struggling with how to deal with what he fears is Marianne's growing drinking problem. And in this, Tim's not alone.
Thank you for coming in. I have a delicate matter I'd like to speak to you about. It's Marianne. Some of the parishioners have noticed that she's drinking more than she used to.
A younger Marianne once made similar choices.
We would go out to clubs and we would drink, and unfortunately she was the one who got, you know, pulled over for drinking, and she ended up having a DUI.
I thought I was the only one who noticed. She's been drinking a lot more wine lately. Should I go get her? She's in the car.
Tim took her to the church, and she didn't know why she was going, and then they confronted her.
We're worried about you. We just want you to have someone to talk to.
And she agreed at that time that she would have an evaluation, and according to the counselor, she was fine. She just needed to watch where she was headed with her drinking.
And with that, the couple turns over a new leaf.
So, I've been thinking, and I think we should do it.
You mean that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. We should open up a bottle. Of orange juice.
That sounds perfect.
This is gonna be amazing. I can't believe it. To the miracle of artificial insemination and to having our own kids.
She was ecstatic, you know, that she was gonna be able to have a baby and, you know, have a complete family.
Artificial insemination is not easy, but Marianne is willing to do whatever it takes.
So the doctor said to eat better, sleep more, maybe take some vitamins, get some shots. I can do this.
So sounds really stressful.
It's all gonna be worth it in the end.
You know, I have a great idea for stress reduction.
Tim insisted he wanted his hot tub.
We've got room in the yard, it would be perfect.
Hey, as if the deck wasn't expensive enough.
You work so hard with the kids, don't you just want to relax sometimes?
Not like that.
Okay, what would make you relax?
One word, cruise vacation.
That's not one word.
Marianne allowed him to get the hot tub under one circumstance, that they would go on a cruise with myself and, you know, a group of friends.
And so they go on the cruise, but it's definitely not smooth sailing. Tim grows ever more concerned about his wife.
Tim went to the guys on the cruise and had told them that her drinking was out of hand.
My ex told me, Tim approached him and says, you know, Marianne's drinking a lot. You know, I see her with beer cans all over the place in the morning or jugs of wine.
Meanwhile, Marianne has few kind words for her husband.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Tim is on my back all the time. And this nonsense about my drinking. And he keeps fighting me every step with the kids.
She goes, you think he's so wonderful, but he's not.
She told me if anything ever happened between her and Tim, that she would fight for those kids. She adopted him, she loved him.
She was only married for a year, and why are you thinking about leaving him already?
Maybe it's just growing pains.
Maybe. Maybe. I hope when I get pregnant, it'll change things.
I just thought that it's a lot to be a single woman all your life, and then all of a sudden you're an instant mother of three kids. And I thought that would stress anybody out.
If Marianne is actually developing a full-blown drinking problem, we're gonna see a lot of ripple effect, both in her and in the family and in her relationship. First, on a personal level, it could impact her mood, her behavior, her ability to parent these three kids that she's taken on, and her ability to be a good wife.
The number one concern is that she is now in a parenting role with three minor children, and you just can't have a substance abuser responsible for the care of minor children. And so if that is occurring, then Tim's got a very difficult choice to make because he's got to look out first and foremost for his children, no matter how much he loves Marianne.
Back on land, Marianne's friends wonder just how bad things really are.
I cannot even believe that you would even think that. What? You drink just as much as I do, and I am just a social drinker like everybody.
She was actually mad at me. She was really mad that I thought that she was an alcoholic.
Okay, to hell with this.
Her denials do little to quiet their fears.
I started getting concerned.
Tim had called Eileen and said that he was going to have an intervention. And for her to call, you know, different people.
Hey, it's me. Have you thought about what I said?
Yeah, but Marianne is really mad at me right now.
I know, but she needs us. She needs you.
Of course. I'll do whatever I can to help.
He said that he was putting the insemination on hold, and I just thought, this is gonna crush her. She is gonna be just devastated, because that's all she talked about. I just almost didn't even wanna be involved in it, because I thought, this is gonna just crush her.
Just one last thing, don't say anything to her, okay? Save it for the intervention. I'll call the others.
I talked to Tim, and he said she's drinking, you know, every night. The kids are waking up, and they're seeing beer cans all over the place.
But the intervention never happens.
Next thing you know, the police and the ambulance are coming.
It was horrible. How could this happen?
Tim Buskowski prepares a secret intervention to stop his wife, Marianne, from drinking so much. While Marianne is busy preparing for artificial insemination.
She just was so happy and anticipating that she'd get pregnant.
She has no idea what her husband is planning for her.
Okay. This was a pretty good idea. I'll give you that.
You know what? I think that I'm gonna call everyone that we know and have you repeat what you just said. Actually, that reminds me, I have to make a phone call for work. I'll be inside in a sec. Okay. Hi, Eileen?
It was my job to let people know, other friends of ours know, that she had a problem and to see who all wanted to come and support her.
I wanted to be there for support. That's why I wanted to be there. I didn't know how I was going to handle it. I didn't know how Tim was going to handle it. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Whenever somebody is contemplating the need for an intervention, as Tim is in Marianne's case, it's sort of a flashpoint. It's a tipping point, because it's the rare case in which the intervention happens and the person says, gee, thanks a lot, everybody. I really appreciate all the concern, and now I'm gonna go take whatever action you guys want me to go take. Sometimes that happens down the road a little bit, but usually what happens in the moment is there's defensiveness, there's embarrassment, there's resistance, there is a feeling of betrayal, and so it is a risky thing to do.
I think an intervention that is just friends and family and doesn't have a professional at it is not an intervention. A true intervention where you're actually wanting to help someone and focus on their best interests has a professional person who knows how to facilitate it and guide it so that it is successful. And so it really looks like Tim has set himself up for failure.
Just days before the intervention, evening falls on the quiet community of Ross.
Chris in the hot tub.
Take it easy, okay?
Remember, we can't stay in too long. It's not good for your heart.
That's not taking it easy.
I need to relax, okay?
That's two bottles already.
Okay, quit nagging me, Tim.
I'm gonna go take a shower and change.
Whatever.
It should have been a night like any other.
The phone rings. I pick up the phone.
Hello?
Wes, it's Tim. I need your help. Get over here now. Quick!
I recognized the voice. I knew it was Tim.
911, what's your emergency?
I need an ambulance. It's my wife. I think she's drowned. Yes, I think I have one. Come on, help me get her out. Marianne, come on. Come on, Marianne. Come on, help me get her out. Come on.
Tim and I tried to pick Marianne up. We couldn't move her. She was so heavy.
She's got a pulse. Give me the pump. Give me the pump.
He was trying to do something with a, like a mouthpiece. He had one of those.
Come on, Marianne. Breathe. Come on.
Tim's apparatus doesn't work. EMS personnel arrive around the same time as police.
The paramedics try to get her up, and they still had a pulse.
She's rushed to a nearby hospital, but nothing will bring her back. Marianne is pronounced dead at 1:40 a.m., with Tim by her side.
I was devastated. Like, my best friend, you know, we had been friends, you know, forever, and she was gone.
A preliminary report from the hospital reveals that Marianne's blood alcohol level is very elevated. Tim returns to the house to meet with police. And his father, Bill, joins him for support.
Hey, detective. My son's already gone through a lot.
It's okay, Dad. It's okay, thanks. We were in the hot tub, and she was drinking again.
Okay, quit nagging me, Tim.
I'm gonna go inside and shower and change. Inside. You've been in there long enough. Marianne?
And when I came out, she was just lying there, not moving. They couldn't do anything for her. And we lost her. I'm exhausted. I need to go lie down, if that's okay.
Oh no, not again.
It's rough, losing your mom.
Oh, Marianne wasn't their real mom.
Well, then we need to tell the birth mother.
He said their birth mother died. She died in North Carolina.
Give me the number for the Greenville, North Carolina police, please.
Ask a dispatcher if they knew anything about a woman that had drowned in a bathtub or had been drowned in a bathtub. And they said they'd look around and call me back.
Great, thanks.
They got connected with Ken Brady, and they asked him what he knew about Boskowski.
It's a call Detective Brady has been half expecting for 4 years.
He said, I've got the file right here on my desk.
And when I was explaining to him what had happened, he explained to me that something similar had occurred down in Greenville.
Not only did Elaine, Tim's first wife, die, she also drowned in the couple's bathtub. And the story grows stranger by the minute.
One of the observations of the patrol officers was the bathtub was dry.
It goes, yeah, that was pretty stupid of me.
After Marianne Boskowski drowns in her hot tub, police learn that Tim Boskowski's first wife, Elaine, also drowned. Also in a tub. And the similarities between the women's deaths don't end there.
Tim said his wife was an alcoholic.
They were at a dance and she was drunk.
He came home first from the party and she stayed behind and helped clean up. So he was there when she got home.
He was downstairs and he hears some noise upstairs and he runs upstairs and finds his wife. He knocks down the door.
Open the door! Come on! Elaine, what are you doing? Wake up! Wake up! Come on! Wake up! Wake up!
It was puzzling at the time, and the autopsy did not yield any answers.
I think there was a great disappointment initially that it was ruled an undetermined cause of death.
But Detective Brady in North Carolina never bought that her death was an accident. He wanted to launch an investigation as a homicide, with her husband Tim as a possible suspect.
Detective Brady was stymied by the autopsy. Now, why he kept the file on his desk, he believed it to be a homicide and thought there would come a day when he would need easy access to that file.
We find out that Brady says he did this, and he sends him a Christmas card every year.
So I went to the doctor's today, and I got this.
Saying, Timmy, I'm still thinking about you.
Remember we talked about the artificial...
Not now.
Tim?
And while an inconclusive autopsy killed the North Carolina investigation, police in Pennsylvania had better luck. Marianne had strangulation marks on her neck.
I could actually see it looked like fingertips around her shoulders, around her throat, that had turned black and blue since the death had occurred. That was pretty indicative at that point that it wasn't from a rescue attempt.
I'll never forget, he shows up and he's standing in front of me looking at Marianne in the casket. He's got scratch marks all down his neck. And I knew, it's like she was clawing. She was fighting for her life. It was so hard.
Thank you. Tim is taken in for questioning. He's more than happy to help.
What happened to your wife, Marianne?
She drowned. She was drinking.
How did you get those scratches on your neck?
I don't remember. You know what? This is making me feel uncomfortable. You're not going to get good readings. We should probably do this again with my lawyer, okay?
So when you ask for a lawyer, everything shuts down.
A week after her death, Tim Buskowski is arrested for the murder of his second wife, Marianne, prompting police in North Carolina to re-examine the autopsy report.
Medical examiner's office said that the cause of death was positional asphyxiation. Detective Brady immediately got a warrant for first-degree murder.
Tim Buskowski is charged not with one murder, but two. Tim claims he's innocent, but in jail he gives the police the death nail they're looking for.
There was an inmate that he was in the cell, either with or next to, Randy Irwin.
And Randy said, fate and chance would bring them together. He goes, you killed both wives the same way. And Timothy goes, yeah, that was pretty stupid of me.
Police finally piece together what happened that night.
Thought we could christen the hot tub.
Tim had concocted the whole story about Marianne being an alcoholic.
Not for me, hon.
Oh, come on, just one. We're celebrating.
That evening, he had planned on killing her. And he got her drunk.
Cheers.
No, I'm okay.
Come on.
No, I'm not feeling so good.
What's wrong?
I'm just feel a bit off, that's all.
Just massaging it.
It's fine.
Beautiful life violently snuffed out. And for what?
He sets an insurance policy that was part of the motive and the reasoning.
I don't know. I don't know if it was for the money or what she was finding out about him. I think she was starting to really see that maybe he did kill Elaine. And I know Detective Brady in North Carolina used to send Tim cards.
Not now.
Tim?
Marianne probably saw one of those.
Tim?
And maybe she started questioning.
One of the things that I think is interesting about this case is that
Tim is such a narcissist that he had a need to not only kill Marianne, but to make her look like she was the bad one and he was the hero. So he creates this sickness she has, this addiction, and he brings everyone in to know about it. And then he makes it like she died because of that, and he's a hero, and he makes himself the hero by calling the neighbor to make sure that the neighbor sees how great and valiant he is trying to save his wife's life.
The chances of two wives dying from drinking in a tub and drowning are about the same as two wives dying from lightning strikes. So just the fact that it happened a second time before you get any of the evidence of all the implausibilities of the story, almost in and of itself is indicative of a murder. And so fortunately, Tim seems to have done what lots of sociopaths do, which is overestimate how smart they are and the extent to which they're going to be able to fool everybody.
In 1996, Tim is found guilty of the murder of his first wife, Elaine. And in 1999, he's found guilty of the first-degree murder of his second, Marianne. His death sentence is overturned. Tim is serving two consecutive life sentences.
It's sad that they reversed the death penalty. Not that I necessarily agree with the death penalty. Maybe his rotting in jail for the rest of his life is punishment for him.
But no punishment can undo the damage done.
Marianne was talented, loving, caring, friendly person, full of life, enjoyed music, was a friend of ours. And we miss her.
She just had so much to give. And for him to take this beautiful person that just devoted her life to her family and to God, and just to take her away for no reason, it's just so tragic.